Isaiah 52. Awake, awake, put on your strength, Zion. Put on your beautiful garments, Jerusalem, the holy city. From henceforth there shall no more come into you the uncircumcised and the unclean. Well, originally the idea was that the captives, the exiles in Babylon, could have returned and rebuilt Jerusalem, and so it could have become beautiful, and they weren't to let in the Gentiles, the uncircumcised, and anything unclean. But as you read in the book of Ezra and the book of Nehemiah, and later on in Malachi, this is exactly what they did. They married the Gentiles, they let these people come right into the temple, etc. They really didn't obey this, and so this kingdom that could have happened didn't happen, because they didn't want it. They just wanted to get on with their little lives and have their bit of religion, and that was it. It's the same with many people today. But God is offering us the real chance of being in his kingdom and of really being there in Jerusalem and of the kingdom really coming true for us. And so it will. Eventually, Jesus will come, and eventually we will all be in God's kingdom. And so he goes on, shake yourself from the dust, arise, sit up, Jerusalem, release yourself from the bonds of your neck, captive daughter of Zion. So they were there in captivity, but they had to release themselves. And yet most of them, when Cyrus said, who wants to go back? Most of them preferred the soft life. And so it is with the message of, do you want to be in the kingdom? A lot of people can't be bothered. But no, we can be there. And we are the ones who've said yes, who've seen that this is possible and that God really wants it to happen, just as you see all through here in Isaiah. God is really urging them, awake, wake up, see it, shake yourself, sit up, release yourself. For thus says Yahweh, you were sold for nothing and you shall be redeemed without money. For thus says the Lord Yahweh, my people went down at the first into Egypt to live there, and the Assyrian has oppressed them without cause. Now therefore, what do I hear, says Yahweh, seeing that my people are taken away for nothing? Those who rule over them mock, they laugh, says Yahweh, and my name continually all the day is blasphemed. Therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know in that day that I am he who speaks. Behold, it is I. And I think that about all the blasphemy that you hear in the world today, people using the name of God, the name of Jesus in vain. This is not what we should do, of course, but when we hear it, it should sadden us. But one day my people will know my name, and they will know that I am he who speaks. Behold, it is I. So finally, people will stop blaspheming, and they will see the reality of the God whose name they're taking in vain. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, the gospel, who publishes peace, who brings good news of good, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. The voice of your watchmen, they lift up the voice together, do they sing, for they shall see eye to eye when Yahweh brings Zion back. Break forth into joy, sing together, you waste places of Jerusalem, for Yahweh has comforted his people, he has redeemed Jerusalem. Yahweh has made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Depart, depart, go out from there, touch no unclean thing. Go out of the midst of her. Cleanse yourselves, you who bear the temple vessels of Yahweh. For you shall not go out in haste, neither shall you go by flight. For Yahweh will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your vanguard. So this is another call to leave Babylon. Get out, flee from Babylon, and take the temple vessels back with you. But unfortunately, they didn't really want to do this. When Cyrus eventually says, when he becomes king, look, you Jews, you can go back. Take the temple vessels with you. I'll give you everything you need, transport, money, everything. They didn't want to do it. And so, as I keep saying, it's the same with the call of the gospel. Do you want to be part of God's restored kingdom? People are like, oh, yeah, well, actually, yeah, I do, but I see I'm busy, I'm caught up with this or that. Whereas we are to see the wonderful reality that I really can be in God's kingdom and to eagerly go forward. And if you do, then you've absolutely got God with you. Now, we now start in Isaiah 52, going into the next chapter, the prophecy about the suffering servant, who we know is Jesus. Behold, my servant will deal wisely. He shall be exalted and lifted up and shall be very high. Just as many were astonished at you, his appearance was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men, so shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths at him, for that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they understand. So this suffering servant is going to be exalted, just as high as he's been brought down. Paul quotes really this whole section in Philippians. He says that Jesus was humbled, he was progressively brought down and down until he died death, even the death of the cross, so that God might highly exalt him. And that's a sort of a V pattern. You go down so that you might come up. And that is what's going on in our lives. It's why life never quite works out, maybe as it could have done, or even as it should have done. Because God is bringing us down in this little brief life, that forever and ever he might bring us up. And that's what happened to Jesus on the cross. Of course, he was brought down very low, to the point that people were just shocked when they saw his face, when they saw his body, the state of him on the cross. And yet it says he will be lifted up very high. Well, he was lifted up on the cross. And yet in the eyes of the Jews and the Romans, there was a man who was now absolutely finished. But in God's eyes, he was lifted up very high. So it can be that a man or woman may die in obscurity. They may die a hard death, alone, etc. Everyone's forgotten them, not interested in them. But in the eyes of God, that is of great price. They are valued by him. They are in glory, because that humiliation is going to be the basis of them being lifted up. And so Peter says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. When you fail that exam, when you lose that job, when you lose that relationship, when you lose whatever it is, when it's apparently bad luck and this doesn't work out, that doesn't work out, and the other guy gets the promotion and you don't, and that sort of thing. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. He's bringing you down, that he might exalt you in due time. And that's just the pattern of Jesus.